If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. I am Diane Allen, your host. My roles as ambassador, author, speaker, and intuitive mentor for bright and talented people are woven into each episode. I have the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire as I have been there and I understand your unique intensities, sensitivities, and challenges. Welcome.
Find your people. Hi, friends. Today I want to talk about finding our people, about helping us through the existential loneliness and the existential crises that gifted people and neurodiverse people experience so frequently. My second book is called The Loneliness Cure, and in that book, I talk about a lot of these topics, about how loneliness is more of an existential spiritual situation than a human situation, though it affects us humanly. So let's talk about what to do to find our people. I have five areas that you can look at in order to understand more fully what needs to shift or happen in order for you to find your people. Because if you haven't found your people yet and you're still looking, they're on the way. You know, I remember when I couldn't find any of my people. I felt like I was out there like an alien all by myself out in the world for many years. And then I finally went into a Unity church, actually, and they sang the peace song at the end, "Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me" at the end. And I remember having goosebumps and going, these are my people. Because they were people seeking and searching and growing and learning. And since then, I've expanded into all different kinds of areas of my life. But I remember that feeling that they were my people because they cared about learning and peace and kindness. So our people are there. Sometimes they come up, they show up in unsuspecting places. So the first thing I want you to pay attention to is acknowledging what loneliness is and where it comes from. That when we're lonely, we have this existential angst. It means that somehow we are disconnected. Now, as mammals, we need each other. And biologically and neurologically, it matters that we are in relation with others of the same species. And existential loneliness is the idea that I see solutions, I see things, I experience a world, and I look around and nobody gets it with me. I'm by myself in my understandings, which in some cases is a real situation for people who are researchers or scientists or mystics or writers or creatives of any kind, because they might be pushing the envelope. I know for me, the bright ideas I have show up in our world somewhere between 2 and 5 years later. So for many years, when I was younger, I thought, oh my word, nobody gets me. Nobody hears me. And then like 2 or 3 years later, 4 years later, somebody else says the idea or it shows up and they're like, oh, it's brilliant. I said, well, I said that 5 years ago. Yeah, but, and nobody remembers, but I remembered. So if you're gifted, you know, and you have neurodiversity and you're somebody who is not on the same wavelength as the average folk, you might have that experience. So loneliness is a spiritual issue of disconnection, meaning we are meant to be connected to others of the same species. When we do not feel connected, that's where that loneliness, that existential separation comes from. And so we need to look at these things as we're finding our people spiritually, physically, and emotionally, right? Like, how do we know? How will we know when somebody's our person or our people, our group? We want to pay attention to that. Now, technology in and of itself and everything being through screens perpetuates loneliness. Because our bodies, our brains, our minds need connection to others. So there's one part. Acknowledge it. Say, yeah, this is it. I'm feeling this way. It's okay. Tell the truth. If you don't acknowledge it and tell the truth to start with, we're never going to get to our people. We'll be too busy focused on where our people aren't instead of where our people are. Now, the second thing is to challenge your belief that you're here to be completely independent and self-sufficient. You know, being totally independent and never interdependent with another human is a result of complicated grief and or trauma or some kind of disconnection. So we want to challenge the belief that we have to be ultra independent and do everything on our own. I have several female friends of mine that have this challenge right here, is that they believe they should always be on their own and fully self-sufficient all the time. Well, really, a healthy person and the goal is to be interdependent. So when we challenge the belief of that we have to do everything on our own and be totally independent and say, no, the healthier way, the adult way, the wise way is interdependence, we'll give ourselves permission to find our people and be able to recognize our people and then to be able to connect with our people, whoever they are. So we're seeking interdependence, which means knowing what I have and what I bring to the table, not offering it too quickly, and then allowing others to bring their gifts and their talents to the table as well. And then we share in the collective goodness of whatever we're all bringing to the table. You don't have to do everything always alone and by yourself and perfectly. You can release that goofy idea. I had to release that idea. I know that we all get it sometimes where we think we have to be independent, but really it's interdependence. When you're stuck in having to be independent, you're stuck in the teenage years, right? We want to be adults. We want to grow into interdependence. So then number three, in finding your people, is to be vulnerable and authentic. Vulnerability takes great strength, and so does authenticity. We want to build our connections while having healthy boundaries. Because Plato said, we get the behavior we tolerate, and we teach people how to treat us. So from the very beginning, the very moment you meet somebody, you are paying attention to their boundaries and they are paying attention to your boundaries, whether you are conscious of it or not. So it's important that we are authentic and real and that our boundaries are clear and consistent, because that is going to help us in finding our people and connecting to our people. We want to continue to develop deeper and deeper understanding of ourselves and others. And so boundaries are fluid. Boundaries move with us through whatever we're doing. So they're not static. Like some people think they're static. I don't think they're static. I mean, there's some things that are a hard no, but there's and some things that are perfect yes, but most of them are fluid. So we want to be vulnerable and be our real selves, but we also want to have very healthy boundaries so we can be real in safety. Number four is we want to know our personal needs within any relationship. And some people don't know their needs in their relationships. I had one person I was working with, and the person said, I want to be happy. I said, well, how will you know when you're happy? And they looked at me like it was a confusing question. And I said, well, what if you're happy right now and you don't know it? Because you don't have a criteria. So I call it evidence procedure. I believe that's the a police kind of term, you know, what's the evidence and the procedure. It's a legal way to look at it, or a phrase anyway. But I like to say, what's my evidence? How do I know? You know, what do I like? What don't I like? How will I know if I'm going to connect to this person? What are my needs in any relationship with coworkers, with people who work with me, with friends of different kinds, right? All those things, with different family, with partners, with people I'm intimate with. There's so many different factors. So some of the things that are important in relationships that I think go here in this situation with needs in a relationship, one of them is consistency. I hear all the time, I can't trust that person. And I'm like, well, do they always do that? Are they always late? I can't trust they're going to be on time. Are they always late? Yes, they're always late. Well, yes, you can trust them. You can trust they're going to be late. Trust is consistency over time. Let me say that again. Trust is consistency over time. So if you are always 10 minutes late to everything, then I can trust you're going to be late. If you are always coming home from work angry and upset and acting incorrigible, then that's what I can trust about you. So even if you come home pleasant once or twice, you have to have time and consistency before I see something different. Then there's communication. Being able to have healthy self-expression. Allowing yourselves to speak how you feel in an honest way. And part of communication, the first part actually is listening. Actually listening to what the other person is saying and sometimes listening to your own inner dialogue. And being healthy with communication. Using language and words that are supportive and seeking solution if there's a challenge versus degrading or negative or hostile. Paying attention to the impact of our communication. And impact includes timing. Sometimes the best form of communication is silence. Sometimes the best form of communication is nonverbal. Is a hug or a wink or a smile. Because 80% of our communication is nonverbal anyway, we're communicating all the time. So we want to know what our personal needs are in relationships, and we also want to learn how to understand the needs of the other people in whatever kind of relationship we're in. You know, I learned that with each one of my clients have different needs, and I communicate and speak and interact with them in a way that aligns for them. And then I have friends, lots of different friends, and we all communicate a little bit differently because our relationship and the needs of the people within the relationship are different. So this is where paying attention really comes in handy. Paying attention to you and paying attention to the others. Now, the other thing I think is important is closeness, which goes with the boundaries, right? It's closeness. There's 8 different levels of intimacy. There's lots of room for how close we get to somebody physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You know, I have some people I work with, everybody I work with is gifted, and some of them are like, I just need somebody that can keep up with me mentally, that I can talk about all the nerdy, kind of geeky stuff I love to talk about. And that might be a different person than the person that can enjoy nature with them and be calm and experience the creative aspect of their lives. Because for gifted people, multiple peer groups are so important because there's so much diversity. So we want to have boundaries so that we know what's okay, what's not okay, and how we're going to communicate it. The closeness. I know people who have rushed into relationships because of a secret, like, kind of need or desperation. And what happened was it undermined their authenticity because there was that underlying undisclosed need or motive. It wasn't a bad one. It just undermined their authenticity. So when challenges came up or difficulty came up or communication broke down somehow, that person was triggered by the fear of this undisclosed thing, and it can add static and can add difficulty when it doesn't need to be there. So our inner awareness and our inner authenticity and vulnerability are so important here as well, so that we have boundaries and expectations about closeness that work. Now, you always reserve the right to change your mind and change because life is fluid. But be aware, right? The other thing I think that matters here in our personal needs and relationship is commitment. You know, I've had people say to me over time how I have so many interesting friends and things. And I'm like, yes, I do. And it takes effort and commitment. It takes perseverance. Sometimes it takes extra attention for our friendships to keep growing. And so any relationship requires a commitment. The relationship to yourself and your own well-being and your development requires commitment. The relationship with your family, with your friends, with your colleagues, with all other beings, with your pets, anybody, anything requires commitment. It requires effort. It requires that you pay attention, right? And it requires that you show up. You know, one of the biggest issues with some of the couples I work with is one person usually doesn't feel like the other person is showing up, or one person, in one case, that the one person thought they weren't showing up enough and wanted to help solve the problem. So are you present? Are you showing up for yourself and the people you say you care about, really? And number five is to enjoy the nuanced complexity of your life. To enjoy the fact that you have multiple facets, that you're nuanced, and life is this beautiful complex soup that has all kinds of amazing, amazing tastes and flavors and textures. Enjoy the fact that there is great variance in all people. You know, it's so funny because we're all trained that everybody's the same, you know, except a few different people, right? And so now neurodiversity is those different people, or gifted is those different people. Well, I don't see it that way. I see it like all of us are different, and it's a lie to think that we're all the same. I always say the same but different. Like, we're all human, and I guess our hearts beat and our lungs work and our kidneys and our liver and all that. That's true. But we're not. We don't do anything the same. We have different nervous systems. We process things differently. We have different sensitivities. And then you add into it DNA, biology, and our autobiography, and it's impossible to think that any two people are going to experience the same thing exactly the same way. That doesn't even make sense to me. And still, people talk about, well, you know, diversity has to do with this one thing or this other thing over here. No, we're all diverse because no two of us do it the same. But we are conditioned to put everyone in a box, including ourselves, like we're all meant to do it the same, and then there's the few outliers. Now, as a gifted person, we are outliers in the sense of our IQ sometimes, right? But that's only because we've all been told that we all have to fit into a certain box. And so now we're not in that box, so we must be an outlier. Well, yes, we are an outlier from the unenlightened stance that everybody's the same except the few people who are different. Because the truth is, no two people are the same. Our fingerprints aren't the same. Our dental records aren't the same. The way we process things aren't the same. The way we use language isn't the same. Our autobiographies and our experience help shape a lot of these things. So it's impossible for all of us to be the same. So we want to be intentional. We want to nurture the relationships that really matter to us, right? Including the one with ourselves. And we want to seek new connections and seek alignment within our connections. Now, that's alignment mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Seek alignment and nurture the relationships that you're in that serve you. That's what I say. That's what we should do, I think, right? I think it'd be kind of fun. So your people do exist. You want to be open to finding them, because some of the people that you're seeking that will help meet those needs you have and meet that part of you so the existential angst and loneliness is not so difficult to live through, they may not be in the place you think they are. So we want to be open. We want to be curious. Always get curious. I wonder how this can happen. I wonder where I'm going to meet this person. I wonder what neat opportunity is going to come. I wonder how I can bring myself more fully into the moment. How can I do it? I mean, we want to be willing to. You know, I have a friend of mine who wanted to meet people. Oh, this was a while ago. Kept wanting to meet different people and grow and go out. But what did this person do? They never were willing to go do anything. Their friends would invite them out, and they wouldn't go. And then different activities would come up for them that would be something they'd be interested in, and they wouldn't go. So you have to be willing, right? You just have to be willing. And then you want to be involved in your own life. Be involved in your own life. This is not a dress rehearsal. You don't want to sit on the sidelines and watch your life. You want to live your life. So be involved in it. Be involved in your health, in your welfare. Be involved in your development in any area that interests you. And be involved in whatever way serves you. And then be kind. Be kind to you. Have some compassion and kindness for you and for others. Because the world is a little tricky. There's a lot of things going on all over the place. So it really matters that we have some kindness and compassion for ourselves and all other beings. So to find your people and to relieve the existential loneliness, we first have to acknowledge it and tell ourselves that, yes, it's a real thing, and quit denying the experience. Then we want to challenge the belief that we have that we are going to always be alone and we have to do everything with hyper-independence. And then we want to add in a little bit of vulnerability and authenticity so that we can position ourselves to meet the right people and feel fulfilled. And then we want to know what our own needs are and learn how to study the needs of the people in our life so that we can have mutually beneficial, beautiful relationships on whatever level they're meant to be. And then we want to enjoy our own nuanced complexity and the complexity and nuances of all of life. That no two people are the same. No two groups are the same. And when we fall into the trance that we have to fit into this one certain way, we lose the beauty of life and we miss the value of the complexity and the nuance and the elegance of our own being and of our world. So nurture your relationships, seek new connections, have a blast, and remember to stay aligned. Keep your mind, your heart, and your spirit aligned as you're curious and willing. And I guarantee you, you will find your people. If you have any questions or you want to talk about it, hit the show notes. I am happy to talk about this because this is a topic that's very close to my heart. And I see too many very talented, gifted people kind of walking around feeling like they're all by themselves because of one of these five things. And when we get on the other side of these five things, you're set free. And it is possible. You don't have to live alone. You don't have to feel lonely anymore. So give me a call. Get on the call with me. We'll figure it out. I'm good at this. So until the next episode of Someone Gets Me, keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you, because you're a rock star. You're here on purpose with a purpose. So go out there. Own your experience. Love your complex, amazing being. Be kind to yourself. And above all, be involved in life. Until the next episode, be well.
Are you tired of searching for someone to understand you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, and talented. I share my insights and teachings, and you can connect with others in a real, authentic, safe forum. So join us today. Someone Gets Me.